Me fai più forte, o Wednesday, April, remember my co-host Stefan, how you going?
Yeah, good, Chanaka. Good to be here. And yeah, hopefully our audio quality is a bit better this week. But yeah, we'll push on.
At the moment, on both sides, and which my team fourth on the bottom, and the Blues occupying second half. So, it's been a horrendous start to the season for both of our teams.
Yeah, you are breaking up a little bit, but it's okay. I think I caught most of what you said. And yeah, it hasn't been a happy start for yeah, our clubs. We occupy yeah, the bottom two spots on the ladder. You guys are more unexpected, like we mentioned yesterday, but yeah, we'll get into that soon.
A few talking points at the moment, a few interpretations of umpires in the gun a little bit. So the hands in the back row, Tom Hawkins, Harris Andrews one was the one talked about the most. How did you find that decision and any other ones that caught your eye?
Yeah, I think that was the main one, wasn't it? yeah, it was a bit inconsistent. I saw it, and it was a clear push out by Hawkins. The commentators just say as long as it's consistent throughout the game, but I don't think that's good enough. I think they just got to be consistent overall, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I think Harris Andrews gave a massive shove after that. He didn't get paid. Maybe that's the umpire giving my arm back to Andrews. So, yeah, I think he was just talking about at a crucial stage of the game. Yeah, if it happened in the first quarter, we got talked about 100.
hello?
Not good, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not. What do you want to do? pretty bad. I don't know. Could be like out my internet, actually. I don't know. But it's okay. Let's keep going for a little bit longer. I keep freezing as well. Wow. Okay. Is that it for that rule then?
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Yeah, so yeah, I was saying if Tom Hawkins might happen first quarter, I wouldn't have got talked about that much because it happened first day fourth quarter get talked about, and I'm sure there's one piece outside of 5 minutes to play.
Yeah. But with like free kicks, I guess over the course of the year it gets sort of evened out. More or less, yeah, you win some, lose some, but sometimes, yeah, it's a bit of luck. What about running past the man on the mark? Like, there's an occasion last week, I think, I can't remember what game it was, but the player pushed his opponent and then ran on the other side. And the other player, I think, one of the Gold Coast Suns players, to go on the other side, and he got pinned because he didn't follow him, but his opposition pretty much pushed him to the other side of the man with the ball. I guess the umpire did, like, technically, I think, adjudicate that correctly, but is that fair?
Yeah, it's happening a fair bit. I think players are getting, like any new rule, they're exploiting it. So you see a lot of players changing direction on either side of the play that's got three, and then their opponent follows them and they think it's way. I think you'll see definitely more of that. They're not going to change the position, but hopefully you don't see that in the final. Hopefully, throw the whistle away with that one and just use a bit of common sense. I think a lot of the players follow it together towards, like you said, that 50
meters. Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. You do want to see that paid in sort of a high sort of pressure situation, but yeah, I guess the player following just has to like go around and yeah, just follow the player because it's like it's tactics in the end. So okay, And the I guess the most biggest contentious issue was Paddy Ryder suspension. So Will Day, where he was in the motion of kicking, right? And then Ryder sort of, he didn't bump him, he sort of stopped, was couldn't do much else, right? And then Will Day sort of had whiplash and got a concussion and went off. And he got a 2-match suspension, which I think people that were expecting 1 match. Do you think that was fair?
I think it's 2 weeks. Probably because he got ruled out for the rest of the match. You could really see that for 1 week. So probably that extra week based on that. Now, I don't think I'd probably jump up if, yeah, he didn't go past the ball and be scared like a wizard. I thought it was pretty unlucky to get 2 weeks. But can't really factor in the height difference, but don't think there's much more he could have done. A bit like the Mitch Robert Dersner one. Could have really sent him to next week, but he did show duty of care. I don't think that could have been any week, to be honest. It's, there was no malice at all, and there was no hit the head. The sort of break the bunch going. What
did
you think of it?
Paddy Ryder couldn't have done too much more. He didn't sort of bump him forcefully. He sort of slowed down and Will Day sort of, he was in the way of his his momentum, really. But footy is a contact sport and sometimes that happens. He didn't hit his head. It was just a whiplash which caused it. But I just feel like the AFL is just protecting themselves by suspensioning him. Like if a lawsuit happens in the future, they could just go back to it and said this action was suspended, like we suspended Paddy for this. So it feels more like that, suspensioning the outcome just to protect themselves from potential future lawsuits.
Yeah, I think you look at that one and you look at Rioli and Rao, like how did Rioli get off and everybody get suspended? So I think you're going to get these things. The rest of the season, hopefully not.
Yeah, and the other thing, like if they keep, like we want them to like suspend people on the action, but I guess why they're not doing that is because there's like several of those incidents a game, so they can't just go through every game and hand out like 10 suspensions a game. So sort of see that, but yeah, I don't know. I guess the only outcome is Paddy Ryder just has to get out of the way there. Just his other alternative. People keep saying he had other alternatives. Tackling wasn't one because he was finished his kick. He'd be holding the man if he tackled. They just got to get out of the way.
Yeah, 100%. Move on to the game previews. First up.
Hey, why don't you move around the room a bit? Can you like move to somewhere else? Because it's still breaking up.
That better?
Is possible? Can you say something?
That better?
Yeah. Well, we had to talk a bit more. I guess we'll just continue. Like, I can normally get like a few words and then it sort of cracks up a bit. So, yeah, go now.
Yeah, so we'll move on to the game previews and if Port was first up. 36 defeated by Melbourne 68 Thursday night, 32-point margin. Very flattering in the end, 50 jump on goals. And I think heading into the game, the keeping off game plan didn't work. Like we kept Melbourne to $1 in 40 minutes, then they kicked 5 in about 11 and they killed off the contest from there. And just poor kicking again. Well, 4 goals from 16 scoring shots. And, the tactic is kicking high to main lever and corner at the best time. Probably the worst thing you can do when it comes to Melbourne. Sam Mays was the deepest 40. I think he had 17 tight end targets. And Todd Marshall had 0, and he's coming off 5 goals. So it didn't really make much sense.
Yeah, so I would have thought you guys would have lowered your eyes and hit up the leading forwards without Dixon there. If Dixon was playing, fair enough, just bomb it in and hope he clunks it. But would you be disappointed by the forward 50 entry?
Yeah, I think I don't see bad coaching if it wasn't addressed at quarter time, because you could see a trend developing. But whether it's, I think the players obviously just missed it. Maybe they're playing as if, like you said, Dixon is still there. And even if Dixon was there, 2-on-1 pretty much had to get gone, pushed back. May and Lever were loose. One of the two were loose. So I think the ground ball tactic is maybe the best way to go against Melbourne. Make it a ground ball game. So before kicking it to those three. Those three are going to mark it. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how teams sort of work them out, because no one's been able to do it yet. What about some positives?
There's a few. Searching, I think it was last week, so William Drew kept the strike at 24, $0, 2 clearances. Cleary backing into back at fullback, 14 marks, rock solid. I think that's the number one fullback return. Jonas was back to his tough best, and Bergman was a late losing in the 22, and he was, I think, definitely the best 22 or 90, 25. So, four players could probably hold their head up.
What about, I was going to say, just before we get on to Melbourne, you need your young players to really, like, jump up a level, yeah? Like, the Butters and, Rosie, they're sort of stagnating a little bit. Sort of reminded me of the Kangaroos when we had the Cunningtons, Jack Siebels, Pasternak, those guys sort of came in and they made an impact straight away, but then they sort of plateaued a bit. They'd want at least a couple of them to take it to the next level. And, but you do have a few youngsters there with like Jones and Singh. And,
I think, like I said, I think Rosie's definitely out of form. Maybe it's lame off halfback. That's where he kind of drafted off Sam's flag team as an 18-year-old. And Butters, every time he touches the ball, he does something creative with it. So definitely need to get more ball hands. And definitely did back in hindsight that we should have picked up an extra minute in the trade period. I think expected these players, like I said, to take a step up. They haven't. Probably last season down to due down to injury. But yeah, this season.
Mm-hmm. And for Melbourne, like who was the best?
Yeah, Thorn was a clear best around, I think 25-12 mark. Coons was one of them, got a clear mark. Took advantage of a bicep who made his shoulder early on. And grand final top James Golden was pretty impressive, 27 touches. And, yeah, just really clean.
Yep, and just finally, the mid-season draft is in two weeks away, but is there any type of player you guys need?
So, I'm curious if we've got
not getting anything that you're saying. It's all right, Well, let's move on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Move on.
Maybe don't move your phone too much. Maybe keep it still.
Yeah.
Is it still? No. Yeah, I don't know.
Move on to the...
Weird, because we're doing this fine last year. It's just, I don't know.
Move on to the Roos review, and the Roos went down, but they definitely much improved from the previous week.
Yeah, it was a much improved effort. So we'll went out there with the mission, I think. And it was, after 100 point loss, you'd expect most teams to bounce back and perform better. And we even led by 14 points in the last quarter. Sort of ran out of gas, and Isaac Heaney and McEnany especially bobbed up at the end, kicked a couple of goals. Heaney, McEnany kicked one and had 14 touches just in the last quarter alone. So I think whoever was on him had to be a bit tighter, but midweek positional change from Noble to throw Zeebel forward worked really well. We're probably a bit too top heavy with Mackay, Walker, Core, and Zeebel down back, so pushing him forward also helped provide a bit more support for Larky as well. That was a pretty smart tactical move, so I wouldn't be surprised to perhaps he will play more forward than defense for the rest of the year. If our defense can, keep healthy.
What was the biggest difference the week before?
It was probably the tackling, I think. We had 21 more tackles, so 66 this week compared to 45 last week. We did lose the clearances this week, though, whereas we won it last week against the Lions. So that was the main difference. The scoreboard might tell us we were pretty accurate, kicking just three behinds, but there were eight scoring shots, which didn't make the distance. So Sydney defended pretty well on the last line. And we got smashed in the contested ball. So without Cunnington there, we're still sort of struggling a little bit. But hopefully we get sort of Anderson and maybe Will Phillips back in the near future to help our contested ball winning.
Who the best at the Roos?
Yeah, a couple. Bryce Simpkin was probably the most consistent throughout the four quarters. Zibble did kick five, but he only had 9 touches. But 33 possessions and a goal for Simpkin was impressive. Stevenson's bounced back really well from being dropped. 24 touches, 8 tackles, and 4 holding the balls are counted. So he was probably, vying for that best on ground on this for the Roos. And Jason on Francis keeps playing pretty well. So he was on track for 32 possessions or even more at halftime, but he sort of ran out of gas and just got the 1 or 5 touches in the second half. But he's having a consistent start to the year. And our defense was pretty good as well, with Mackay doing a good job on Buddy. Had a great smother as well when Buddy tried to run around. And Aiden Calls finally, beat them playing some good footy.
I saw it last play when R2 got made a penalty. Went short to the goal stand. You think they were going long?
Yeah, watching it was pretty obvious he should have gone to the top of the square. But having sort of read a little bit what was happening, and Fox Footy pointed out a couple of the Kangaroo, like more senior players, were pointing at Goldstein and telling him to kick it to him. So it's a bit unfair to put it all on Archie if he was getting directed by Bailey Scott and someone else to kick it to Goldie, who was at 50, 60 out to draw one of the Sydney Tallers defenders out of the hotspot. Kicking in deep really doesn't work for us anyway. So I don't blame him. If I was to blame R2, it's probably not like pushing forward hard enough after he received the 50 and tried to milk that second 50. So maybe he was fatigued or not thinking, but players should really exploit that rule. But otherwise, I thought he was all right. Didn't get too much of the ball, but when he had it, I thought he did something with it. Finally, just quickly touch on Perez, who made his comeback after almost like 2 years with the new Rinko, and he showed some promise. Bailey Scott, he had a pretty good game as well, provided some drive, and Luke McDonald was one of our best. I mentioned Sydney, but McEnany was probably their best player. All right, we'll get onto the game previews, and we've got Port Adelaide versus Carlton at the MCG on Sunday. So might be a first Sunday game, but how do you think this will pan out?
Well, for that first win, obviously, with the confidence out, Rose is definitely starting from that. Cripps is out. For us, Lines is out for the year to that part. I really hope it's okay long term, but they can call for the year. They need to get a few weeks off. I think it's definitely time to prove. Aim on to step up a bit more, along with both players and our best player for 4 weeks. Your ex player, Simon, he was really impressive, I thought. And I think he takes lines of play. 21, up to 16, 12 tackles after playing the AFL. Bicep might be out, his shoulder. Gives a good opportunity for Sam Hayes to get flooded. Internet, I think, he's back for the Blues and he's lost last week. Pretty crucial, really, against Jared Whitney. Probably in the mix. Probably Gray's been out for a couple of weeks. I'll take his protocols. Hopefully, he's back. Aaliyah's maybe a sneaky chance to come back in. Who need him? He's got Jay and Turno up forward and McKenzie's out. Jury takes one. A Lear's out, then yeah, that's take the other three creative club.
Yeah, sorry, it was a bit hard to hear again, but I think the midfield, it will come down to the midfield, wouldn't it? With the inside midfielders, because when Cripps went down, it was the Suns mids that really got on top and started to win the ball. And I think the halfbacks, if like Bergman and Burden can really provide that drive, I think the Carlton's forward, medium forwards are a little bit not as disciplined in stopping that. So you'd be looking for that drive of halfback.
Yeah, I think maybe Frederick comes in as well, maybe. And he's got to be out for a couple of weeks. Ryan and Kane Farrell, off 12 months at ACL, had his last week. He may have hit six goals, but I think he'll still keep going for George Adams. Hopefully target those two a bit more. Yeah, I think it'll be a tough one. You got Lions and Cripps out, but it's probably a matter of who out of the other mid could step up more in there.
Yeah. So do you want to give you a tip, or do we wait for that?
I'll always tip for it.
Okay, yeah. Well, you have good reason to tip them. Yeah, so fair enough. Okay.
We'll move on to the Roos. So it's second, maybe the third Good Friday match. Right.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's becoming an annual fixture with the Bulldogs. Not very happy about it not being the standalone Friday night game. There's another one in the West, I think. So I think, yeah, a bit weak by the AFL just to allow other teams to play after. We've spent so many years trying to have a marquee game. Yeah, would probably prefer Carlton as well as the opponent and not the Dogs. But yeah, the Dogs, they'll be looking to bounce back from their fourth start to the year. Bad goal kicking the last couple of weeks as well, so pressure will be on them. And what's being talked about is the North Melbourne's this corresponding game last year. We lost by 120 odd points, so it'd be a good indicator to see how far we've come in that time. We all know the Bulldogs had a good year last year, so now I'm really looking forward to the challenge the guys will face. And I reckon it'll come down to the big men in this game. Midfield battle, if it can break even at least, then we've got tall forwards in Larky, Goldie, and Zibo plays tall against Gardner, Cordy, and Tim O'Brien. I think they have Keith is out with a hamstring injury, so he was probably their most impressive tall defender. So we need to just try and exploit that.
In terms of the midfield, that's their dog strength. Do you think there's any tags or it's just
Yeah, probably tag maybe Bailey Smith. He seems to be racking it up a little bit. I know McCray gets a lot of the ball, but I think Smith's the one that provides a bit more dash. So maybe send someone like Bailey Scott or Curtis Taylor to him. And Caleb Daniels, the other playmaker of halfback. So play Turner or someone accountable on him. So Marnie had 8 tackles on the weekend, so maybe someone like that can mind him. And just go head-to-head with the rest. So Bontempelli, Treloar, and Hunter just had 3 tackles between them last week, so you can sort of tell they're not that accountable. So I'd make him go head-to-head with our sort of Simpkin and Greenwood and these guys. I'd like to see us bring the pressure again, like Sydney, like have high tackle numbers, high pressure acts. Davey Juniac led our pressure acts last week, a bit of an underrated game by him. But if we can bring that, we should sort of at least be competitive. So I'd still reckon the Bulldogs have a bit too much to play for. They can't afford to start the season 1-3, or 1-4. 1-3, I don't know. But you'd think they'd get up. And I heard Aaron Hall might have a hamstring injury, but otherwise it will be only maybe Zerha out because of concussion and Eddie Ford to come back in. Maybe Artur sub, and not sure about Bonner. I don't think the sub position suits him too much. I'd reckon the Dogs by a couple of goals, but maybe Owen Francis can yeah, get a rising star nom soon after a big game.
The next one up. We'll move on to the tips, and it's 21 all at the moment. So very tight race this season. Good. The round starts with Brisbane hosting Collingwood at the Gabba. I've got the Lions, and yeah, McStay's really come on this season, and probably their best forward against the Cats and kept moving game.
Yeah, I had 11 marks and I think 4 of them contested, but yeah, Collingwood, they travel really well for an okay team, but I reckon Brisbane will be just too strong.
Blues versus Dogs on Good Friday. I've got the Dogs at 8, they'll go 1-4. And Norton, hopefully, they'll be pretty good.
Yeah, a bit of a danger game, I reckon, for the Dogs, but I reckon we'll come close, but yeah, Dogs should win that.
Eagles hosting the Swans on Good Friday as well. I've got the Swans, even without Franklin, which is trying to play for the season, even though the Eagles probably had win of the season against Collingwood with their half of waffle time.
If the Swans played like they played against us, they're not going to get close to the West Coast Eagles, I think, but I don't know, actually. I reckon. Yeah, maybe West Coast can pinch this. I might have to change my tip and tip West Coast without Franklin for the Swans.
So, though, thanks, Suns at Marvel. Got the Suns in an upset, actually. The Saints are a bit better than they actually are.
Yeah, that is a big upset. A few upsets happening these days, but I reckon the Saints are just going along nicely, and Gresham's been an important part of that. So.
Oh,
I reckon they'll get the win.
Adelaide hosting Adelaide Oval. Can't go past the Tigers. I think they should be too strong, especially with Lynch Rewalt.
Yeah, a little bit inconsistent, the Tigers, but yeah, they should win here. And yeah, Adelaide are playing pretty good footy as well. Not too bad.
I've been hoping the Giants with MCG. Melbourne will get a loss, but I can't get past far and away.
Yeah, I reckon Melbourne, yeah, you can't really tip against them these days, but yeah, Giants, something a bit off. They have a lot of injuries, so a bit of an excuse.
Carlton versus Port against the Gabba. I've got Port as usual.
That's a tough one. It's a 50-50 game, really. I reckon just because it's at the MCG, I'd probably go Carlton. Like you said, Wines and Cripps sort of cancels each other out.
Essendon playing Freo at Marvel. Right, Essendon, they're slight favourites, and Peter Wright, I think, in case he's maybe the most improved player in the comp.
Right, I guess this is a hard one. Probably tip an upset would go for Freo. I reckon the midfield's starting to bat pretty deep, even with that fight, so. I think Mundy's back as well, so the midfield will just roll Essendon's mid, I reckon.
Finish round the typical Friday, it's the Monday, first four points with Cats. I've got the Cats, I've been sorry, coming back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of a reality check against St Kilda, almost 80 points there on stage. You'd think Geelong will win this one pretty easily, but Hawks are, yeah, pretty competitive against Geelong, but. I reckon, yeah, Selwood back. Geelong should win.
Hopefully, yeah. The break is pretty tight. I think we've maybe two different. So, this round, and we won't have a pod next week and get sitting around the world. But,
yeah.
Have a week off, and then my team has had a win.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens in that couple of weeks. But, yeah, hopefully the audio is not too bad, and we'll try to fix it up. Thanks for listening.
Guys. Nice.